There we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Are you looking to take your social technology strategies to the next level? Then do we have a show for you. Social Geek Radio co-hosts AK Stout and Deb Evans chat weekly with innovative technology folks who share their experiences, tips, and tricks to help you take your business to the next level. Social Geek Radio is brought to you by Saying It Social and Deb Evans Consulting, LLC. To learn more about their unique services, including but not limited to speaking, consulting, and training, visit AK Stout and Deb Evans Consulting.com.
AK, I know you're excited. So this is Deb Evans and AK Stout for Social Geek Radio, and we are just so excited about our show tonight. But before we start doing that, AK, you've got to tell me about this new walk thing you're doing, or machine.
Oh, the Nordic walking?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so I think I'm the only person in the United States that does Nordic walking, from what I can tell on Twitter. It's really big in the UK, and it's basically walking with, like, trekking poles, and they have specific Nordic walking poles. I got mine on Amazon for like $70, and you strap your hands into them, and there's like this whole technique for how you hold the poles. It's not like your traditional walking with poles. There's a technique to it so that you are like planting back and you really feel the burn in your arms. And they say it's next to swimming. It's like the most, it's the best like full body workout. And I can definitely feel it in my arms and in my core. And I've been trying to kind of get back into the swing of things from my heel fracture. So I've been using those to kind of baby the weight on my foot a little bit. And I'm so obsessed with it. Like, the calorie burn that you get from doing it is equivalent to what you get from running. But it's, of course, much lower impact on your joints than running. And I just wish more people were doing it. I look up Nordic walking on Twitter, and it's all people who are either speaking foreign languages or in London, or nobody's in America to talk to me about this.
So we will be meeting in Washington, D.C. They're in the Franchising Public Affairs Conference, but we're going to do a Charity Miles walk. And are you serious? You are going to bring those poles with you and walk from the Marriott down to the World, to the monument, and then back with us?
Yep, no doubt.
This will be a first. This will be pretty cool.
I don't want to walk without my Nordic walking poles anymore.
Okay.
I'm going to let everybody try them, and you guys all are going to want them too. I'm going to start a trend. Actually, the American Nordic Walking Association. I've been talking to them. I might do some social media for them in exchange for taking one of the courses so that I can actually like bring it to the United States and get people interested in it. So it's my new thing.
Good. Good. Well, I'll film you. You know, Now, our guest, and we're going to let her out. So the Gadgetista is with us. So hi, Bonnie.
Hi, ladies.
So you have done the Charity Miles walk with us. And when we were in New York, you wore your video camera in your ear.
Yes, I did.
You'll have to come and wear your video camera in your ear. I want one of those. And film AK using her poles.
I will. And, you know, it's funny you're talking about this because I just recently dragged out some of that old video clips. And I was just watching them and reminiscing about what a fun time we had.
Oh, you should put them on our Social Geek Radio Facebook page so that we can all watch them with you.
I will. At first, I thought they were all kind of pointed down, because I never really paid really good attention to which way it was angled. So I didn't really do much with them, but they're still fun to look at and listen to kind of what we were talking about and stuff.
Cool. Well, good. So
we're
all going to gear up for Washington in a few weeks and do our Charity Miles, because we still all just love that Charity Miles app, and bring our gadgets, and maybe I'll go buy a GoPro and wear it on my head.
That's cool.
I've been looking at those.
Really good.
But tonight's topic is, and I don't know if any of that tech would be appropriate for school, but tonight's topic is back to school technology and cool tech gadgets. And Bonnie, we are so glad that you're going to be here. And I know AK's positioned and I'm positioned and our guests are ready because we're ready to go shopping as soon as you tell us about the neatest gadgets, because I'm sure not just the students, but the parents could use them. Business owners can use some of these. So we're ready.
Yeah, it's all good stuff. So, you know, thinking about back to school, I, you know, kind of think back to when I was in school a bazillion years ago, as much as I hate to admit it. And I wish I had some of the stuff when I was in school and some of the stuff I use on a daily basis. So you're absolutely right. It does cover the gamut of, you know, maybe high school and college kids and even business stuff. So I'll start with the backpack.
Now, oh, yeah.
When I say the backpack, I'm also going to be including like a laptop bag. There's several different sizes that are available. And what's so cool about it is that you charge it when you're home. There's like a little interface, a little plug that you plug into the wall. And it's also got a couple USB ports on it. You plug that in, you let it charge, you know, during the day, overnight, whatever. And then when you head off to school or if you're heading off to work or on a trip on the train, anything like that, you plug all your devices into it and it will charge everything on the fly. So it'll charge iPads, iPhones, Android devices, anything with the micro USB plug on it. And most of them are about 4,000 milliamps, so it'll give your phone a couple, like maybe it'll charge your phone like twice. But it's so nice to have because you need to keep everything together in one place anyway. So why not have it be a charging source while you're at it?
Well, and so now a backpack, and we know that the kids have to have backpacks, and like you said, whether you're going to college or the, you know, the school ages. But for us, for business owners who travel or who happen to be out in a charity miles walk, you know, carrying all of
exactly.
Our power supplies and our mini iPads and everything else that we were just talking about, I can see where I would love that. So what is the name of the backpack that you're talking about so folks can
the
be looking for it?
Brand, the brand of the bag, because it's kind of a conjunction of two different companies. It's Power Bag and Fuel, F-U-L. Fuel makes luggage. I actually have some pieces that are really nice and really well put together. And so it's a combination of those two companies, Power Bag by Fuel. And they make backpacks, like I said. They make a sling that just goes over one shoulder. And they also make briefcase bags and laptop bags. I happen to have a laptop bag, and I love, love, love it. I carry it everywhere I go.
Cool. And how is it as far, is it water resistant?
Yes, they are water resistant. You know, obviously you don't want to get the area where you have the battery wet, but it's pretty well enclosed into the bag, so you don't really have to worry about it. But yeah, I've had it out in the rain. I haven't had any problems with it at all. And it's pretty light, you know, so as far as a backpack goes, before you start putting stuff in it, it's pretty lightweight, so it's not like it's already heavy because of the technology that's in it.
Have you taken it through security yet, if you've traveled?
I have.
Any issues?
Nope. They are, what is it, FDA? No, that's Food and Drug. yes, thank you. They are approved so that you could go through. And actually, it's kind of funny because I called the rep to that company when I first heard about them and asked about it. And I said, am I going to get hung up at the airport with this? And he said, nope, they're approved. So I haven't had any problems with it. And if for some reason they wanted to check it, the battery portion of it just zips right out. So you can show them what it is if they need to see what it's about.
Perfect.
Maybe the Food and Drug Administration approved it too. I don't know.
yeah. Now, and you're talking about food and drugs. Not drugs, but food. Water. I would think that because of the type of bag it is, would you recommend not putting, you know, carrying your water bottle?
There's actually a little pocket on the side. So if you wanted to put your water bottle in the side, and it, you know, if it, for whatever reason it did leak, I don't think it would penetrate inside the bag where the battery is. I don't think it would be a problem. I mean, unless you plan on smashing the water bottle, I think you'd probably be fine.
Okay. Good to know. Very good.
Yeah.
I like that one. So now, when you're talking about backpacks and there's other things that kids, students, or need to have, like dictionary and thesauruses and stuff like that, what are your recommendations here?
Yeah, so, you know, there's so many apps out there that are great for students. I mean, I could probably have a show just about, you know, apps for back to school. But there's a lot of great reference things that you can keep on your tablet or on your phone. So thesauruses, dictionaries, calculators, obviously, scientific calculators. There's scientific glossaries. And now they even have Cliff Notes. So you can keep all that stuff right on your tablet or right on your phone and not have to carry those extra books around with you. There's also
My back would have really appreciated that in high school.
I know. Every time I look at some of these things, I'm like, man, if we just had this stuff in school, we'd have skated right through school.
Seriously. Oh, my gosh. I read about an app the other day that you just scan the barcode on the back of the book and it'll do a bibliography for you and you can pick like which format you want it to be in. I have still like reoccurring nightmares about having to write bibliographies in high school and college, and I can't imagine that they have an app for it now that'll just do it for you.
Isn't that crazy? Oh my gosh, it's unbelievable.
Imagine what the teachers have to be aware of that now because of all the apps and the technology that's available that wasn't available maybe for some of those tenure teachers that, you know, started years ago.
Well, there's even some great apps for teachers. I can't believe all the great stuff that's out there, you know, as a reference for them and as references that they can give parents to keep the kids active over the summer. I did an article on keeping your kids busy from what they call the summer slide, where they don't read and they're not active. And there's a lot of really good information out there available that you could use technology for to keep the kids busy during the summer. So there's a lot of great stuff out there for students and teachers.
That's true. So what should we move into next? What are your next suggestions as far as what should the students have in their technology toolbox as they're getting ready to or already started school?
Well, you know, depending on the age, you know, a lot of kids probably have tablets already. I mean, I'm not sure about high school students, but I'm sure college students, a lot of them have tablets. I mean, we could probably spend a show talking about what the best tablet is, but I feel like since so many people already have tablets and smartphones, you know, talking about some of the accessories that will make the most out of those devices are probably wise. And one nice thing that if students are taking notes in school, a nice thing that you can have, and even do it with your smartphone, is a keyboard, a wireless keyboard. And they're so nice and thin now that you could throw that in your backpack and then or even get a folio, you know, for like your iPad that has the keyboard built in. And I think it's so much easier to take notes than using a stylus or than, you know, having to continually look at your iPad while you're typing. So if, you know, you're taking notes during a lecture, I think having a keyboard is probably a really major bonus to be able to take good copious notes.
Well, and AK and you and I were talking about our tablets, our iPads, and the iPad mini. And I know with my my tablet, my iPad, I've got the Logitech keyboard where I can set the iPad up on the keyboard and then I can close it up and it makes it, you know, a really tight case for it. And I wouldn't do without it because I love this keyboard and I love the case. It just protects the iPad. But I haven't seen one for the mini. So are there wireless keyboards for the mini?
There are wireless keyboards. Basically, everything that's available, any of the wireless keyboards will work on any tablet, even though, you know, they kind of say it's for iPad or whatever. You know, you can use any one of them in conjunction with another because the Bluetooth profiles are pretty much all the same. It's whether or not you want something that fits in a folio. Now, there's a folio that's available for the Mini. that goes for about, I think, $70 or $80. And that's got the keyboard built right in, and it's also detachable. So if you don't want to carry the keyboard around with it, you can. But it's more of a folio than what you described.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Logitech, if I'm thinking of the correct thing, I have one of those also for my Android tablet where it just closes down over the top of it, like almost like a cover.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's very secure, and it fits tightly that it's like a protection for the iPad when I carry it around too.
Right. Yeah. So I have that same one for my Android, and I love it. I haven't seen that exact thing for the iPad mini yet, but I have seen the folios available for those.
AK, are you using anything with your mini?
I'm not. I actually decided not to because I like the convenience of just carrying it around and using the touchscreen keyboard. But Bonnie, I was wondering, I've seen in a couple of different places recently, and I don't know if it's more gimmicky than actually functional, the roll-up, like the rubber roll-up wireless keyboards. Have you looked into any of those or heard about those?
I've seen them, and they're kind of neat. I'm just not sure why I'd want one necessarily.
Right.
I mean, like, I tend to think that, maybe personally, I like things that sit flat better, you know, because then, you know, if I have, like, papers and stuff, or my tablet, and I'm just, like, stacking things up in my laptop bag, I think things tend to fit better that way. So
right.
I have seen them. They're kind of like a rubbery, almost like silicone. I'm
right.
not sure exactly what the terminology is for them. And they're really neat. I just haven't really found a need for it for myself. I tend to like the flat ones better.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was interesting because I wasn't going to get, like, something that was more like a case keyboard, so I would have to be sort of carrying it separately, and I was just wondering. You know who has them, Deb, is Scotty Vest has them on their website in, like, their travel accessory section while I was looking at that the other day. So I don't know. I'm going to pick one up, and I'll blog about it, and I'll let everybody know.
Oh, okay. I'll have to go back to Scotty Vest. I didn't realize they had a travel accessory site. See? Look at them.
Yeah, nice.
Very perfect. Okay. So we know students listen to music. They listen to podcasts. They listen to lectures. Yeah, I bet you some great headphone recommendations.
Yeah, so I love Monster. I'm probably one of the things I go on and on about most is Monster for whatever reason. I just love their products. They've got a lot more than just headphones. But once I learned what to listen for when you listen to headphones, I really learned a lot and realized what great quality they are. And they have several different kinds, obviously, and that's a personal preference. Right now, I'm talking on my Beats, which are in my ear. There's also the kind that you see people walking around with, the large kind from back like 20 years ago. And, you know, we used to plug them in and listen to our stereos. Those are on-ear. And the difference is really, you know, comfort for one thing, but also noise canceling. So if you're in a dorm room and you really want to just block everything out and just listen to what's going on in your headphones, something like an on-ear type is nice, and Monster makes one called the Incredible In-Tune On-Air, and it's Nick Cannon designed it, and it's only $100. So I know to some people that might sound expensive, but the quality of them is outstanding. Monster has been in the music industry for so long, and they've really, you know, nailed down getting the sound frequency to your ear at the same exact time, because frequency travels different, you know, the lows travel different than the highs. And they've done a nice job with these. And for over-the-ear headphone like that, you know, a lot of Monster headphones like that run around $250. So this is a way to get a nice Monster headphone for around $100. And, you know, if you're going to have headphones, you might as well use them for music as well. You're going to hear things in music you never heard before. But, of course, you know, they're going to be great for using them in the dorm room if you're studying and you want to block everything else out. Or if you're, you know, maybe in the library and you happen to want to do a tutorial or, you know, do some little extra studying and you have to be quiet in the library. So I'm a big fan of the Beachline for in-ear, and I'm a big fan of the Incredible for the on-the-air.
Now, I have a question that I received a text from somebody that, okay, the headphones that you're talking about, they are specifically to be used with tablets, laptops. Can they be used with phones, smartphones?
Oh, anything that takes a 3.5-millimeter jack. So there are some devices that actually have Beats built into them, and, you know, they're supposed to really be integrated better with those. But I use them for everything. I use them for my computer. I'm using them right now to talk to you through my iPhone. I use them for my tablets, through my Androids. So anything with a 3.5-millimeter jack, and they're perfect.
Good. Very cool. And I'm looking at them now online, and they're pretty attractive looking, black and red. They're pretty cool.
Yeah. Yep, and the Beats in-ear have the tangle-free wire. And then the other ones, the on-ear, are wireless, so they're Bluetooth, so you don't even need a wire for them. So, you know, even these are getting, you know, a little bit more advanced to where you don't have to really deal with wires.
So now here's a question for you. Bluetooth versus the wires. I hear people all the time that love one or the other, and that can try to justify why you have to have the wires and why you should maybe go wireless. Where do you see a difference? Is one really better than the other?
Well, that's a great question. I haven't really given that a lot of thought. Up until this point, all the headphones that I've used have wires, so I guess
mm-hmm.
I'm so used to that. But I'm lying. I did have a pair when I was going to the gym that were wireless, and for that reason alone, it was nice. If you have a good quality pair that have wires, a lot of times what happens with the wires is if the wires aren't well insulated, it could cause interference. For example, if the headphones I'm using right now, if they weren't well insulated like the Monster ones are, and I grabbed a hold of the cord, you'd hear all kinds of feedback, but you're not hearing it, and I'm doing that now, and that's because they're well-insulated Monster wires. So I think it just depends on the quality and your preference. You know, if you go into a store and you just get a pair of wired headphones, the in-ear type, you know, you see them for $20 in every store, they tend to have a lot of interference because they're just not great quality.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, something to look for is the name, and to know that they have a good quality name behind them.
And AK, what do you use when you're doing so many of your webinars and everything? You use the wire?
For everything that I do online, like my presentations and stuff, they're wired. They plug in, except for right now, the Bluetooth headset that I'm on, because I'm doing it through my phone instead of the computer, is actually wireless. I don't even know what it's called. Hold on. Oh, I don't know. I don't recognize their logo. I'm sure I knew it at some point. But, these are wireless. And these work. I use these all the time when I'm just using my phone for a call. But when I have to do something where I'm hooking in through, like, a webinar service or something like that, I just have a Logitech headset that has, like, the thing that pops down with the microphone.
Right. That's what I have, too. We really should get Logitech on the show, because I'm sitting here looking. I've got a lot of their products sitting right here at my desk.
Yeah,
nice.
That is pretty cool. Okay. Well, good to know, because like I said, I've heard people argue, and I have a Plantronics wireless headset that's just, you know, in the ear bud or whatever you call
yeah.
it. Which works fine for Skype calls, but I can't use it when I'm using, like, Screener or recording. It doesn't pick it up. So it's like I need something that's going to fully be functional for every platform I'm on. It's really
right.
strange. Okay. All right. So we got the headsets going. What about memory? Can't you increase our memory potential?
I can increase it on your wireless device, but not on your own head, unfortunately.
Oh, come on, please.
I'm sorry, I
could
only do so much.
You disappoint me.
Until your head is an actual gadget, there's nothing I can do. But no, there's some great memory pieces out there that you can use to expand the your cell phone or your smartphone, I should say, or your tablet. But again, some devices don't take them anymore. So you have to be cognizant of what your device is capable of. If it is capable of taking an SD card, you can put up to 64 gigabytes of space. And again, you have to check the specifications on your device because some only support up to 32. But if you have a device capable of taking the 64, then you can, and it already has maybe, 16 or whatever on it, you can make an 80 gigabyte device out of whatever it is you're using. So I haven't personally used a lot of memory because I use a lot of cloud services, but I was in Oregon in July and I didn't have access to any of my cloud services, so I was kind of at a loss. So you have to be kind of a little bit cognizant of that. But if you want to keep everything on your phone or everything on your tablet, keep a lot of stuff plus music, videos, whatever, then Kingston makes the cards that go all the way up to 64. And then there's also memory sticks. What they call them flash drives. They call them memory sticks, jump drives. They go by a lot of different names.
Mm-hmm.
And what those are... just a little USB that goes into the side of your laptop or your computer, and it's just a drive that you can take with you so you can put files on it and take it with you. A lot of teachers are requiring students to have those now. Since I've been out of school a while, I'm not exactly sure what they put on it. If they put your curriculum or your agenda or your schedule for the year, I'm not sure what goes on them, but I've heard a lot of people talking lately about needing them for school. So Monster now makes a nice one, actually a couple different sizes. But those range in size anywhere from like 2, again, up to like probably 64 I've seen on those. And they range in price. A 32 gigabyte is probably about $30. So you could keep a lot of files on those little jump drives. So those are nice to keep and have.
Well, and at one time when you go to, now talking business, and one time when you go to a conference, that sometimes as part of your pre-conference material or your registration material, there would be a drive in your conference bag and all the presentations would be there. Of course, now you can put them in the cloud. They'll put them on a document center or whatever. But
right.
I've seen, you used to get those at conferences with logos and everything on them. So, but I have heard that schools are requiring that students have them so that they can turn in their homework or whatever it is that they need them for.
Yeah. I mean, they're great to carry stuff around, and you can even buy them where they are protected so that nobody can access your files without a password. So they're at least secure if you need to put files on there that are sensitive material that you don't, want anybody to get access to should you lose it.
So
those
okay,
are nice devices.
Here's a random question for you, AK. If I were to come to your office and open up your desk drawer, how many of those would I find?
I don't really have any.
You don't?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
I bet if I opened up my desk drawer, I could count 10. And that's my problem with them, because I've used them over the years, that I don't throw them away, but I don't know what's on them either.
I have one. I actually do. I have one that I carry with me in my wallet.
I have one in my wallet.
But I don't have any other ones just because I use Dropbox for everything.
Yeah.
So everything goes in the cloud, so to speak.
But, Bonnie, you made a really good point because there's so many places now that you go and you can't get service. I wouldn't even thought about that everything's in the cloud, and what if you can't get to it?
Yeah, right? I mean, because I use every cloud service available for every gamut of things you can think of. And I went to Oregon in July, and I was in an area that we couldn't get signal for like 15-minute ride. And I literally was wanting to drive the 15 minutes just so I could get onto Spotify and stuff. I was going crazy. I was really at a loss. We would be sitting around the campfire talking about movies, and somebody would say, oh, who was in that movie? And I'd be like, wait, never mind. I can't look it up. So you know, just not being able to do a lot of stuff, not being able to look up files or show pictures of stuff I have in the cloud. It was a little disheartening, but, you know, I mean, it's just for that, you know, couple days, unfortunately, I should say. But I have probably 20 of those drives easily, and I don't know what's on half of them either. But like AK said, you know, I use Dropbox for just about everything, so I don't really need them anymore. And I do have one in my pocketbook, so we are truly three geeky girls.
Yes. it's in my wallet. It's in my change part. So if anybody, you know, if they take it before they take the change, I'm sure.
As on mine is my presentation. So, like, if I'm going to go speak somewhere and I have a PowerPoint presentation,
right,
I would put it on there for that reason in case I don't have internet access. But I think, my presentation drive.
Okay. Now, you just mentioned, you know, I think back to when the three of us were together and we were in New York City, and how AK and I, AK more than Deb, but were freaking out before we even arrived in New York. Totally freaking out. How would we keep our power going for the entire day? And all we had was phones to power. So you came to our rescue, and you had provided, it was the first time I had seen it, what was it called, a juice bar?
Yep.
Was that it?
I was watching the video that we talked about earlier, and I remember asking each one of you what your favorite color was, and of course I gave AK the purple one.
Yes.
Because she loves the Ravens and purple. And, so those were juice bars. That was the first time I had seen the juice bars. And there's so many different types available out there now. The ones that I gave you were pretty primitive compared to what's available out there now. But they're so nice to have because there's different sizes. The ones that I gave you were a little bigger than a lipstick container. So, you know, easy to throw in your purse and just have when you need it. I can't tell you how many times I've charged other people's devices. I carry three of them in my pocketbook.
That was going to be my next random question. So you have three.
Three.
AK, how many do you carry on you?
Just two. I have a big one that will charge like my tablet and my phone. And I can't remember what it was called, but I'm in love with it. It charges them forever. I carry the little one that Bonnie gave us.
So I have two that I carry, and no matter what, it's like the wallet and the power supplies get transferred to whatever purse or bag I'm carrying, because God forbid I should be anywhere. Now, of course, there's like two supplies in the car already. I only have one cigarette outlet, but I have two supplies in there. I don't know.
Nice. My charge is making a lot of really nice ones that have the cords built into them so that you could charge iPad, you can charge your Android, you can charge a Kindle, you know, and some of them you can charge three things simultaneously. So they're really nice. The one I happen to have, I have one juice bar, I have one by Motorola, and I have another one by Duracell. That one's an induction. I can't say the word right now. Inductive charged device where you just put it down on a pad and it charges by like a magnetic force.
Oh, yeah.
And that particular one has both iPhone and Android connectors on it. So if I'm out and about and I happen to hear somebody say, oh, my God, my phone's dying, I'll be like, what do you have? And I'll hook them up.
Don't you feel like a hero when you do that? I do that at conferences too, and I'm like, hey, do you want to plug in? And they're like, what? Is that wireless? And I'm like, yeah, it is. You can plug in. They're like, oh, my God, thank you so much.
Yeah, you turn into instant hero. Between that and being a mobile hotspot, I'm like everybody's best friend at that type of stuff.
Yeah. Which, yes, okay, very, very, very important.
Love it so much. The one I have is Linmar, which I guess Linmar is an okay brand. I don't know. I saw it at Best Buy, and it was like $80, and I was reading everything about it. So, of course, I do the thing where I scanned it, and I looked at the Amazon reviews, and I got really good Amazon reviews, and it was half the price on Amazon than it was at Best Buy. Sorry, Best Buy, now we know why you're going out of business. But,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like this thing will charge forever, and it's only $40 on Amazon, and it has a 2 USB power port. So that's my Lindner plug.
Very nice. Yeah, I would be helpless without those. And you know, Deb was talking about the walk. So the day of that walk, I had GPS going, I had Bluetooth connecting to my video camera in my ear. Mm-hmm. I had the Charity Miles app running. We were doing the scavenger hunt. And I feel like I had one more thing going on, maybe texting and posting stuff to Facebook. So doing all of that, you know, I mean, and we were out for many hours.
Yeah.
I think that was my first day with the Razer Max HD, so I made it through the whole day. But, a lot of people that don't have, you know, phones with crazy batteries in them, you know, they don't make it through the day. And, you know, these are great devices. Everywhere I go, AK, you probably get the same thing. You were just saying you're a hero at a conference.
Yeah.
So many people don't. They say, what is that? What do you have? And I say, it's a battery bank. That's what I call it. And they're like, oh, my gosh, I didn't know you could get those.
Yeah.
I actually want to buy a bunch of them and carry them around and sell them because people just don't know they exist.
Yeah. Just rent them. Rent them. Don't sell them. Just rent them out.
Yeah, well, those are like the best kept secret. I don't know why more people don't know about them, but I talk about them all the time because I think, you know, they save me all the time.
Yep. Absolutely need them. And I would think, you know, it's for kids. So let's, you know, the kids that are going back to school, they're using their tech during the day. So,
yeah, and they're not sitting at a desk, so they don't have an outlet right next to them, you know. Unless there's one outlet in the classroom and all the students are, you know, fighting for position to plug into something. But, I mean, this would be great for students. And they make them in different sizes. There's like a 2,000, a 4,000, and a 6,000 milliamp. You know, maybe the student doesn't need, you know, all of that. There's a couple different sizes available. But there's such a great array of them available, and they're not that expensive. You know, they range in price from like $20 to $80.
Oh, yeah, my sister's really mad at me because when she was in college, she used to not return my mom's phone calls late at night because she would say she was studying in the library and her phone ran out of battery, so I bought her one. And I told my mom what it was, and I'm like, she could just recharge her phone with the portable thing that she has with her.
You threw her right under the bus.
I did. I was like, now you can charge it. Sorry, you don't have an excuse.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay, so can I ask for a recommendation that's completely not back to school related, but it is tech gadget PC related?
Of course.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to the beach next week, and I want a waterproof case for my iPad mini so that I can read on the beach. Do you have any recommendations for the like, I looked them up, and there's like a gazillion different ones, and not many of them actually have any reviews.
Okay. So one of my favorite in this area is LifeProof. Let me retract that. Is OtterBox. OtterBox now makes a series that's waterproof.
Oh,
and
okay.
So let me ask this. Is this something that you'd want to keep on your mini iPad all the time, or would you want something that's maybe just a one-time use thing?
I don't know about one-time use, but definitely not all the time.
Okay, because there are covers. They're called iOTTIE, I-O-T-T-I-E, and those are really nice for something if you don't want to keep, you know, like sometimes the waterproof covers are kind of cumbersome. And so if you don't want to keep that on your phone all the time, what's nice about this is if you already have a folio or you already have a case for your iPad that you like, this iOTTIE cover will go over it and protect it, and you can still fit it into whatever it is you use for your iPad. So it's like I jokingly call them, I don't know if I could say this, but an eye condom, because they fit very snugly around whatever the device is.
Right.
And then you can actually... It seals up, so, and then you just use them that one time, but the packaging usually comes like two in a pack, so I want to say it's probably, for the mini, probably about $19.99, and it would come with two, so Okay. You might want to look into that. I think those are really nice for something if you don't want to keep that case on your device all the time. The problem with some of the cases that are waterproof is the more you take them on and off,
right,
the more you render them useless in the long run because they need to seal.
Awesome.
So, for example, with like LifeProof and the types that you put on like an iPhone,
yeah,
they recommend you only taking it on and off your device 10 times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
really?
So those are like $80 just for an iPhone. So if you take that thing on and off a bunch of times, you know, you're rendering it useless. So you might think about one of the one-time uses, and then, you know, you just use it for that time that you're at the beach, and then you take it off and kind of toss it. And I think those are the best options, personally. And I've used them, and they work great.
I'm so glad I am. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Now, we hadn't planned to talk about phones, but I know you test them all, and I know that kids and business owners as well are always looking for, okay, what's the next great phone that we should have, or which my iPhone 4 is great, but it's probably time to be retired, and I need to upgrade.
Okay, so wow, there's a lot of stuff coming.
I know.
There's a lot of great stuff out there. I'm currently using, you know, I'm an Android girl. I'm currently using the Galaxy Note 2, and I love it so much because it's got a big screen on it. It's great for women because you can throw it in your purse. Men don't like it so much because it's so big. It's kind of cumbersome to put in your pocket or carry it on a belt clip. But it's nice because you can do so much, and it's considered a phablet. So for people who like a big screen, I think that is right now the best thing out there. But what's coming is, so there's a couple great things coming. There's three new Motorola phones out, actually four Motorola phones coming, and one of them is the Max. It's going to have a 48-hour battery. So that's kind of cool.
Wow.
There's a Moto X coming. You won't need your battery bank. There's a Moto X coming, which is a Google phone. Motorola, as you probably know, got bought out by Google.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's running just stock Google. It doesn't really have an interface over the top of it, so it's really fast. So if you like Android, it's really nice. And it's going to be customizable. So you're going to be able to pick your own color scheme, your own background, and they're assembled dead in Texas. They opened a new plant, I think, in Fort Worth. I'm drawing a blank right now, but I'm pretty sure it's in Fort Worth. They opened a new plant. They actually revitalized an old plant, and so they're assembling them all in Texas. So those are going to be out on the 29th. iPhone is rumored to have two new devices come out. There's going to be one that's going to be kind of a budget iPhone. It's going to be the iPhone 5C, and then there's going to be a 5S, and that one's rumored to be in a champagne color. And I don't know if you've seen the iOS 7, but it looks like a really nice interface. There's going to be a lot more multitasking available. So it's the iOS 7 is really nice. So that might be something that you might be interested in, Deb, the 5C or the 5S.
Yeah, so definitely ready for a new one here soon.
Yeah, what's the one that you can customize with the colors and whatnot?
That's going to be the Moto X.
Oh, okay.
Moto X. Yep. And then there's the other one that I've seen that I absolutely love, I can't wait till it comes out, is the HTC One. That's already available on the other carriers, but Verizon's finally getting it, and it's going to have some neat features for Verizon alone. And it's like a unibody shell, so it's a lot thinner. It's going to be the thinnest phone out, and the sound is incredible on it. The screen is incredible. It's just a really, really beautiful phone. So that's the HTC One. And then the LG G2. Honestly, don't know that much about that one yet. That one's fairly new to be talked about, but it's supposed to be kind of a really nice device. It's going to be, you know, larger, kind of like the Samsung Galaxy S4, which is another one I forgot to mention. That's a great device, too. Everybody that I know that has the Galaxy S4 absolutely loves it. So there's a lot of great stuff out there and a lot of great stuff coming.
My husband just got the Galaxy S4 a month or so ago. It's one of those that I can't say this with him sitting there, but I like picking up his phone and going, I think I like this.
It's really nice.
Yeah, it's very. It's a nice size. It's very clear. I like the apps that he's got on it. So, I don't know. Tough decisions.
Yeah. So, yeah, the S4, I know quite a few people that bought it all at the same time, and they all kind of said to me, we need like a little, 101 course on our phones. So I sat down with them, and they went over a few things, but they've picked it up. It's really ran with it, and they absolutely love it. I don't think I've ever heard so many people talk about a phone before that they love so much. Maybe prior to the iPhone coming out,
Right. I agree. Well, Ms. Gadgetista, you have really helped us out here, and lots of great ideas and back to school tech. So why don't you share your contact information with our audience so that they can connect with you, and we'll be sure to put your latest post on our Facebook page.
Fun. Okay, yeah. So the best way to get a hold of me, the easiest way, is to go to CellularChloe.com. It's CHLOE.com. And that will take you to everywhere I am online. You can email me. You can reach me on Twitter, Pinterest, Facebook, YouTube. So everywhere that I am, Google+, everywhere that I am, there's a link on my Cellular Chloe page to find me everywhere.
Find you everywhere. And we hope to see you in D.C. in a few weeks. We'll be talking to you about that. Fine. Yay. Very good. Okay. Well, if you'd like to hang around with us, AK's going to do her Geek It Out segment. You ready for this, AK?
I'm ready.
Okay. So hold on, everybody. Here we come. All right.
Okay. All right. So I just found these today. So I really haven't. These are three Instagram apps I'm getting ready to tell you about. And I've only gotten a chance to use them once. I used it for a Social Geek Radio post before the show started when I checked in on Foursquare. You can find, there's actually four of them. I've only downloaded it and played with the three of them. You can get them at DYSSmobile.com. So it's DYSSmobile.com. I'll put that in there. And it's insta-weather, insta-place, and insta-food. So what it basically does is you open the app. So if you want to have some sort of weather overlay on top of your picture, you open the insta-weather app, and you have all these different, I think they call them frames or canvases or something, to choose from. So you can scroll through, and it puts, like, the graphics, it'll put the weather, it'll put it in all different fonts and formats and everything, and you can customize it so you can get some weather information over top of your photos. So that's InstaWeather. And then InstaPlace, it hooks up to your GPS, obviously, and you can say where you are. So, like, if I was at Starbucks, it'll pull Starbucks up on the screen, and it has cool-looking fonts and graphics and information about where you are location-wise. And even if it's food, like a food place, it'll say, like, yummy across it or something. But it looks really neat and professional, which is why I like these over some of the other apps where you can put your own words over them. And then the third one is InstaFood. So this one, people go to restaurants and they take pictures of their food. So it has the same type of kind of canvas frame overlays for the pictures, so you can say what restaurant that you're at and kind of what you're eating and all that kind of stuff. So enhancements for your Instagram for weather, places, and food. And again, I think they look really, really cool with the different options they have.
Okay, I saw the one that you did for Social Geek Radio, and I knew you would be sharing that tonight. It really was cool.
Yeah, and these are so neat. So definitely make sure that if you try this out, at the bottom right-hand corner of the app, after you've kind of flipped through the four or five kind of different screens that it shows you, if you click this button in the lower right-hand corner, it brings up a whole bunch of different overlays that you can put across it. So I recommend flipping through all of them kind of before you use the app at all until you're ready to take a picture, and it'll actually probably give you some ideas, different types of pictures that you could take.
Well, and actually the InstaPlace one, there's one that says it's free, and then there's one that's $1.99.
The ones that are $1.99, they give you more of like the overlay options.
Mm-hmm.
I actually paid the $1.99 for all three of them just because I wanted to see what all the options were. And I'm really happy that I did it because it opened up a whole bunch more for $2. I could chalk it up to the I was going to talk about it on Social Geek Radio, so it was a learning experience.
It's worth it. I get it.
Well, I'm so obsessed with my iPad Mini. Like, I didn't even download these on my phone. I didn't even know they have them for Android. I've been using Instagram and everything on my iPad Mini because the camera takes much better pictures than my phone camera does. So I downloaded them on my phone on my iPad today. And I was playing with all that. So I'm, like, more app-obsessed than I ever was before because all of those apps that I was so bitter about that I couldn't get on my Android phone, I'm now putting on my iPad Mini so I can use it just as if I had them on my phone. So I'm, like, going app nuts. And my next one is an app, with that respect. Another app is called KeyMe. It's KEYME. But it's only available in the iTunes store, and it's only available on iPhone. So you can download it. You can download the iPhone version of it onto your iPad. But I tried it, and I couldn't get it to work, and I contacted them. They said even though you can put it on the iPad, they don't support the iPhone version of it on the iPad. So really only for iPhone. But the premise to this is you can actually take a picture of your house key and you can scan it, and it actually, like, creates some sort of image of your key. So if you get locked out, you can pull it up, and apparently you can take this key to a place that creates keys, and they're able to create your key for you based on the image that you have scanned in. You can also order a key to be sent to somebody. So, like, when you and I did that Airbnb and we had to meet Han for her key, she could have actually scanned her key into this app, and then we could have requested a copy from this company. It's like $6, and they could have actually mailed us a copy of the key with her approval and everything, of course, instead of us having to coordinate to meet with her. So there's a whole bunch of other things that you can do. It's very secure. There's all sorts of ways that you have to, if somebody picks up your phone, for example, they'd have to punch in all of these different things in order to actually access that app. They couldn't just get access to your house keys. But it's really neat. And so as soon as they have it on Android, I will be using it.
I believe it. Okay.
All right. Next we have, so this is, from what I can tell, I'm thinking that they're definitely not large scale enough to be a competitor of SmartBrief, those daily emails that you can get on sort of a curation of articles from all sorts, different sorts of industry-related information. And they're only in, I think, about 8 industries right now. But if you go to industryguys.com, so industryguys.com, they have a marketing one, they have an education one, they have a construction one, a couple of others, and you just subscribe to it and you can get a daily digest of articles in these respective industries. But they also have really neat home pages. So if you go to, like, for this episode, well, if we go to educationguys.com, the home page has a really nice sort of scannable, almost Pinterest-feel layout so that you can scroll down and you can read it says the education industry in 60 seconds. So you can just basically see an image and read the headlines and kind of decide what you want to read. And then over on the left-hand side, there's events, tools, library, press releases, all things having to do with that industry.
And it's industry guides?
D-I-V-E.
Oh, dive. Sorry.
Dive in purple.
I got it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then it's education.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, I don't know if you saw, I posted on Facebook.
Yes,
media,
I did.
Yeah, resource guide for teachers. I got that off of here in their resource section.
Yeah, that was very cool. I thank you for sharing that, and I shared it with several others.
Yeah. So, just another great site to kind of get some information. All right, next I have Jumblit.com. J-U-J-U-M, as in Mark, B as in boy, L-E-T-S.com. So let me put this in the Jumblit.com. And it touts itself as a place for your personal outlet. But it's basically kind of like an online yard sale. So I guess it's easy to kind of say it would be like a Craigslist competitor. But you can, like, if you look at it, and I don't know if this is pulling in my geographic location or not, because right away I see one from Maryland, Teresa's Junk Trunk. But you can basically create your little storefront and take pictures of all the crap from around your house that you want to sell. You can put a price on it, and then people can contact you. So, like Craigslist, you'll usually have like a listing for each item, or maybe you'll put a couple of items with each listing. And so it's just a different way to kind of display the stuff that you want to have. It's like an online store on sale almost.
Oh, dear. I know several people who I should be sharing this with.
Yeah. So, and it's small. It's just starting out at the top. It says right now there's 170 items for sale in the United States. So, it's small, but, you know, if you had stuff you wanted to sell, there's a reason why you can put stuff on it. I believe it gives you your own unique URL, and then you could post that, of course, anywhere that you want to. All right, and the last one I have kind of goes back to our conversation about sticking stuff in the cloud. It's called anycloud.co. AnyCloud.co. This allows you to hook up your email inbox. So I actually hooked up my Gmail. Your Gmail, your Google Plus, your Facebook, your Instagram, often enough, not Twitter. I don't think Twitter is often. And what it does is once you connect all of those accounts, it pulls in all of the images that you have shared on those accounts. One of the things that I really, really like about it, actually, is the fact that it pulls in the images from my Gmail. So many people send me pictures. Clients will send me pictures that they want me to post, and I have the hardest time finding them in my Gmail. And here I can come in, and they're all right there.
Oh.
So it's just all on one nice screen. It has a lot of other functions where you can share pictures with friends on here. It pulls in all of the pictures that you've been tagged in. On the various sites, in case it's not something that you yourself have saved. So you can see all of those pictures in one location. You can see all of the pictures that your Facebook friends are sharing, kind of in like a group setting. So it's very nice.
Very nice.
Photo, image, saving, previewing.
That's a good description. Okay. Perfect. We've got lots here, and I have lots of windows open. So as I always do, go and really explore these after the show. So thank you very much, AK. Very cool, Bonnie. I know you're still with us. Thanks so much for joining us. It was great.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for the geek it out, AK. That was some good stuff.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. I will talk to you next week, AK. And Bonnie, I'll see you in cyberspace, and hopefully I'll see you in Washington, D.C. in a few short weeks.
Yeah, IRL.
I know. I love it. what would we do? Oh, bye. Thanks, everybody, for joining us.
Bye.
Bye.
Very geeky show. Finding Don't show me.